I'm not saying that Brandon Miller is automatically the best player who isn't Scoot Henderson. But Brandon Miller at 6'9", good defender, really good shooter, and I think has a fun personality. I think he'll ultimately be the pick. We'll find out what Jay Billis thinks right now as we bring in ESPN's ace college basketball analyst and the fifth round pick of the 1986 draft by the Dallas Mavericks. When was the last time somebody introduced you as the fifth round pick of the Mavericks?
About 20 minutes ago.
Oh, really?
It always happens around this time of year.
I'm so unoriginal, Jay. I apologize for being unoriginal. Thank you very much. I know it's a busy day for you. You've already been all over my my TV and radio. Your thoughts? You did the LeBron James game when he was still in high school with Dick Vitale on ESPN back in 03, correct?
Yeah, I saw LeBron when he was a sophomore. In fact, in that game, I was the only one that had seen him before. And then that was our first ESPN's first draft and my first draft sitting on the desk. So, yeah, there's a long-time connection to LeBron there.
How does Victor Wembanyama compare as a prospect to what you saw from LeBron?
Similar in the way you felt that it was a can't-miss proposition that – there was not even a hint of injury with LeBron. You know, it was just sort of, he's so physically imposing at that age relative to his, and then with his skill level. I mean, it was Kobe Garnett type skill for a high school player and way more physically imposing at that time. And that proved out over the long run. Wembanyama, the only concern you have with him is his build. You know, that he's not a big, strong body, but he's 7'4" and so unbelievably skilled. And, you know, he's made a huge leap just from last year, and I think that's going to continue. And he's got the mental makeup of a pro. He's been a pro already.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any concerns with him. Look, if we were playing, if he had to, you know, get in fights down in the low post for the block, you know, back in the 70s or something, and he's having to go against Artis Gilmore and Nate Thurmond and Wes Unseld. You go, okay, well, he's too thin. But in today's game, I just don't see that being a major problem.
I was talking about this earlier. Everybody can shoot the ball from the perimeter, at least maybe not all at the same efficiency. But, I mean, everybody has that as part of their arsenal at this point. The NBA demands it. That if you're not a threat to shoot the ball, maybe it's not a three-pointer, but it's certainly out to 15 or so feet. If you can't do that, they don't have to guard you in the NBA. But he can do that. He plays offense like a guard, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's kind of like a 6'2 guard in a 7'5 body. but it, defensively, he'll step in right away and be a major impact player. But he's so skilled as an offensive player. It's not like he's this visionary passer. That's not his game. But he can shoot. I think he's going to improve as a 3-point shooter. He knocks down like 84% from the foul line. He shot over 200 free throws last year, so it's not like it's some small sample size. And he's he's so sort of fluid. And when he takes a jump shot, he's got very good mechanics. It's a very pretty shot. But when he gets up to his release point, he's already over the rim. You know, it's like this unblockable shot. You know, he could do this Dirk thing where he goes off one foot, and he's got a ton of natural ability and obviously things that he's worked on. But you've never seen anything like him. It's jaw dropping, and to think that there's a lot of room for improvement for him to be, you know, one of the iconic players of his time.
Jay Billis is joining us. He'll be part of ESPN's draft coverage tonight. He also has, it seems, I mean, I've never met him, and I've only seen him handle himself in interviews, and I watched him on the draft lottery night with Brian Windhorst over in France, but he seems to have a maturity about him that is uncommon for somebody who is, what, 19?
Yeah, he's been raised for this, so that's true of a number of international players that have played professional basketball at a very young age, and he's one of those. But he's also, you know, he treats himself like a pro, and not I don't mean spending money and buying cars. I mean, he takes care of his body. He does significant injury prevention work that usually it takes a guy two or three years to figure out in the NBA. Sometimes they figure it out right away, but he's doing it before he gets there. And he's not been most of the other international players in this draft have been complimentary players on their teams because of their youth.
Right.
He led his league in scoring, rebounding, and block shots, and he doubled the block shot total of any other player in the league. And he took his team all the way to the finals of that league this year. He's really extraordinary. And I think sometimes at this time of year when maybe, you know, basketball fans don't spend all this time looking at these prospects, they're kind of going, okay, we've heard this before. You haven't heard this before, and you haven't seen this before. This is not hype. This is fact. But we heard the same thing with LeBron, you know, people saying, oh, geez, okay, here's the next great one. And he was. But this is not the general, you know, positive talk about the number one pick being the best player this year. This is, he could be one of the best ever if he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, and I know he's skinny, and he actually said that maybe everybody else shouldn't be lifting weights. Maybe they should try to be getting skinny too. My concern for him is more about his feet, because when guys are that tall, it's usually the lower extremities that are more of the issue than anything else. But, I mean, he is, as you said, a fluid athlete. Jay Billis is joining us here. The Hornets have the second pick. I know you're based in Charlotte. I'm sure you've heard a lot of the chatter about this. Do you have an opinion, Brandon Miller or Scoot Henderson?
It's a close call because, Scoot Henderson is kind of like, he reminds you of Russell Westbrook when he was at UCLA. He's that dynamic. Mm-hmm. And similarly, they were not good shooters when they came out. He's not a good shooter, but he's not a bad shooter, but he only makes about 29% from three. And because he's not that good of a shooter, he doesn't take all that many of them. But he's got the arms of a 6'9" guy. And, you talk about explosive first step, gets to the rim, finishes, ultra competitive, but Brandon Miller's 6'9". And he can really shoot it. And I think what you were saying before about, shooting being at a premium in the NBA, he's got that already. And so I tend to think that he would be the pick for Charlotte. But you never know. I mean, you can't go wrong, either player.
It's really because shooting is such a premium. That's why, I mean, you have no way of you don't have to believe me when I say this, but back in 2008, I guess it was, I thought Steph Curry should be the first pick in the draft with James Harden, with Blake Griffin, because we knew this. We knew Curry would be able to shoot. He could just keep going further back. And if you wanted to go out and guard him, he was going to be able to shoot. I'm not sure why Grady Dick isn't going to be a very high pick, because I think this guy can shoot it from everywhere.
Who else loves summer but gets a little overwhelmed by all the plans? Daily Harvest helps me conquer the morning and kick off my day with intention through nourishing and delicious food, all delivered to your door. Daily Harvest is the easiest way to get your daily serving of sustainably sourced fruits and vegetables without the shopping, chopping, and post-cooking cleanup. Go to dailyharvest.com right now, enter promo code HARVEST, and get up to $65 off your first order. Their strawberry and peach smoothie or apple and cinnamon oat bowl are the perfect addition to my morning routine. They also have tons of options for any time of day, like flatbreads, harvest bowls, and bites. We all deserve easy mornings. Let Daily Harvest give you one less thing to worry about. So don't wait. Order your meals now at dailyharvest.com. Enter promo code HARVEST for up to $65 off your first order. That's dailyharvest.com, promo code HARVEST for up to $65 off.
There's nothing like kicking back, tearing open a bag of M&Ms, and hanging with a friend. Now that's a good time. Whether you're at the movies, on a beach, or stuck in traffic, there are so many kinds of M&Ms to enjoy. Milk chocolate, peanut butter, minis, and many more. It's the iconic candy that's all about bringing people together to bond over colorful, bite-sized chocolate candies, delicious flavors, and something else we all have in common. Fun. M&Ms. For all fun kind.
He's going to be a high pick. He'll be taken in the top dozen, I think. And that's hardly, it's lottery.
Okay.
It's pretty good. but, you know, the one thing Grady Dick has a problem with, he's not a great defender. He gets attacked on defense. But you're right, he can really shoot it. He's probably, he and Bryce Sensabaugh of Ohio State, Brandon Miller would be up there. Ben Shepherd at Belmont. Those guys are the best shooters.
Let me ask you one more thing before I let Jay Billis go, and I appreciate your time, sir. And there are no absolutes here, so I'm not trying to paint everything with a broad brush. It does make it more difficult to evaluate players who play in G League Ignite because they don't play, when I say a non-competitor, they play against good players, but the outcome of their games generally do not matter. Overtime Elite takes it to another level. Where the outcomes don't matter. Whereas in college, these guys, while not playing against maybe the best competition, are playing games of consequence. How does it kind of impact the evaluation process when you have guys playing in different types of basketball?
I'm not sure I would concur with that line of thinking. You know, the G League is made up of NBA players. And sometimes it's guys on a two-way contract or whatever. It's a really high level of competition. And part of that, you know, if there is a function where you think that players don't care about the outcome, that's even can be a better scenario to see if the individual prospect cares about winning when other people might not. Overtime Elite's a little bit of a different deal. Overtime Elite is more, glorified high school basketball, I'd say.
Right.
It's not bad. There's nothing wrong with it. But look, in my view, if you know what you're looking at, you can spot talent, whether it's playing at the YMCA or playing in high school or whatever. It's not like we didn't know that Zion Williamson was really good when he was in high school, or RJ Barrett was really good when he was in high school. Now, of course, all these guys are going to get better as they get older. Players are going to look different from age 18 to age 23, 24, whatever. But the hard part of this is not what they are. It's what they're going to be in the future. That's what these players are being drafted on, is what tools do they have and aptitude do they have and want to be a difference-making player in the future. And so I think in tonight's draft, you're going to see a number of what I would call upside picks,
right,
where they're betting on their future. And you're going to see a number of picks where they're taking a guy like Cason Wallace, who's from Kentucky, who's a really safe pick because of what he can do already, what his floor is rather than his ceiling. Or Jaime Jaquez Jr., where you know what you're getting and it's really good. It's just not going to be superstar good. That's the rub here and the difficult part.
Do you have a favorite player as I let you go?
I don't know that I have a favorite. You watch all these guys. There are some really interesting stories here. I mean, I'm a big fan of Jaime Jaquez Jr., mentioning him at UCLA. You know, I think he'll go late in the first round. Colby Jones of Xavier, I really like. I mentioned Cason Wallace of Kentucky. Not as superstars, but as guys that are going to come at, like, Colby Jones reminds me a little bit of Josh Hart in the way he plays when he was at Villanova. And then Cam Whitmore, I've been really high on from the beginning. He didn't play a ton at Villanova because of injury, but I have him as the fourth best prospect in the draft. And I think he's, I don't know where he's going to go, whether it's 8 or 9 or 4 or whatever, 3, who knows. But I think he's legit.
Jay Billis, I appreciate your time, sir. Next time we'll talk about you and Five Clubs Golf, because I know you are there with Gary Williams. I appreciate your time.
Appreciate being on. Thank you.
You got it. Jay Billis here on the Adam Gold Show. ESPN draft coverage this evening, don't you know?